Tonight's lecture is titled Modern Problems and Vedic Solutions. Obviously, modern problems are problems that are experienced in the modern age. Of course, many of the problems experienced in the modern age are problems that are experienced in all ages. Old age, disease, death, and repeated rebirth, these are problems in the material world in all ages. Too much heat, too much cold, too much rain, not enough rain, these kind of problems can occur in any age. But there are some problems which are or appear to be peculiar to the modern age. Or particularly acute in the modern age. For instance, in India at the present time, there is a lot of discussion about corruption. Corruption can occur in any society at any time. But particularly at the present time in India, it is perceived as a major problem. Other problems of the modern world are, for instance, economic instability, widespread poverty. I don't know if we're supposed to say this here, but ecological imbalance caused by, for instance, lignite mining. Pollution, overpopulation is perceived as a problem. In India, Pakistan is perceived as a problem. In Pakistan, India is perceived as a problem. So, apart from the macro problems, there are individual problems which are more pronounced in the modern age. For instance, mental problems are very common in the modern age. Stress, anxiety, depression, schizophrenia, etc. are considerably more prominent in the modern age than previously. So, these are some of the problems. And what are the solutions? Now, what do we mean by a problem? We perceive as a problem something that impedes our well-being and happiness. And if we find a solution, then it's no longer a problem. So, seen in this way, all problems can be said to arise from ignorance. Because if we know what the solution is, then we don't have a problem anymore. So we propose that the solution to all problems is the Vedic solution. Because Ved means knowledge. And problems only arise due to ignorance. Now, the Vedic knowledge is given specifically to help human beings and the whole human society to overcome problems. Problems can be tackled on various levels. For instance, if I cut my finger, I can wash it and dress it. That is immediate treatment for the problem. But the ultimate treatment for getting pains in the bodies and cuts in the bodies is not to get any body anymore. Or put in another way, this whole material atmosphere, the whole material world, is the world of problems. So the ultimate solution to all problems is to not get born again in this material world. Meanwhile, while we're in this world, there are various problems which we have to face. And we may say, well, if someone cuts their finger to tell them to, they should get mukti, that's all right, but you should also dress the wound and put a plaster on it. Or if someone's hungry, you can tell them, well, you should become liberated from this material world, but in the meantime, they would appreciate getting something to eat. So the Vedic knowledge means, the Vedic knowledge means the knowledge of the Vedic corpus. That means the four Vedas, the Upavedas. The Puranas, Itihasas. So within these, within this vast body of literature, there are directions on how to address problems in an immediate sense and in an ultimate sense.
நம்மளுடைய பிரச்சனைகளை எப்படி சமாளிக்கிறது அப்படிங்கறத பத்தி பலதரப்பட்ட தகவல்கள் கொடுக்கப்பட்டிருக்கு. உடனடியாக நம்மளுடைய பிரச்சனை எப்படி சமாளிக்கிறது, இறுதி நிலையில நம்மளுடைய பிரச்சனைக்கு எப்படி தீர்வு காண்றது, ரெண்டுமே கொடுக்கப்பட்டிருக்கு.
For instance, as you're all very well aware, there is the ancient science of medicine, Ayurveda, which is an Upaveda or a corollary Vedic subject. There is a great Vedic science of another example. There is a great Vedic science of metallurgy, which is lost now. Even now we have evidence of that. In Delhi there's that pillar which is commonly known as Qutub Minar, but it's originally known as Dhruva Stambha. Which stands without any support. And which doesn't rust at all, even after hundreds of years. So where is it? All right. So where's the gala? So where was I? I was in Delhi. I have to come back to Nay Valley. This is evident. And that Dhruva Stambha, commonly known as Qutub Minar, is of such a quality of iron, so pure that no one in the modern age can imagine how that can be made. So the Vedic corpus gives advanced knowledge of how to deal with our immediate terrestrial problems. Which nowadays many people don't believe in all this. Because the science was so advanced that in the modern age we can't even imagine that. It operated on a subtle level. But even today people have faith in holy men who simply by mantras can cure others. So that is actually a science, how by mantra, by the subtle sound, the gross elements can be rearranged in a beneficial way. But the Vedic knowledge points us, while giving us solutions to our immediate problems, points us toward the ultimate solution to all problems. The Vedic literature points out to us that this material world is by nature full of problems. The very fact that we desire to get free from these problems suggests that our true nature is to be free from all problems. Clearly, everyone wants happiness. No one wants to be unhappy. But the very nature of this world is that however much we try to be happy in this world, we are subject to innumerable problems within it. Therefore, the ultimate solution to all problems is to get free from the conditions of this material world. By going to the spiritual world, which is called Vaikuntha, place where there is no anxiety. The place where there is no birth, death, old age and disease. Where everyone is fully satisfied eternally in the service of Lord Sri Krishna. Now, because we are in this material world, many people, they don't have faith in the existence of the spiritual world. And they're interested, well, what to do about the problems of this world? Here we have the picture of His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, who is the founder, Acharya of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. He is famous for having spread Krishna Bhakti all over the world. And particularly in the Western world, his followers appear to be very otherworldly. You know what otherworldly means? It means concerned with the other world, not concerned with this world. They appear to be very otherworldly. Singing and dancing in the streets, wearing to what Western people appears to be strange clothes. Of course, the Hare Krishna mantra is well known in India, but in the Western world, when Srila Prabhupada introduced it, it seemed to be something very strange.
Hare Krishna mantra in India is well known in India.
So Srila Prabhupada introduced this Krishna Bhakti in the Western world with the, as far as possible, he maintained the original culture which goes with that.
Srila Prabhupada Krishna Bhakti
But at the same time, he wanted to present to the intelligent class of people, especially in the Western world, that Krishna consciousness is not simply concerned with spiritual solutions, but with solutions for the world as it is today. Srila Prabhupada was very concerned to present to leaders of the world how Krishna consciousness can provide solutions to its major problems. Now, considering that the modern world has such severe problems, it would seem that it would require quite drastic changes to make the solution. For instance, at the present time, there is a lot of awareness, not so much in India, which is one of the most polluting countries in the world, but in other countries, of the massive imbalance in the world ecosystem due to pollutants. And people are thinking how to make clean fuels, in other words, fuels which don't pollute the atmosphere. Here in India also, sometimes we see it's advertised clean fuel. Or eco-friendly fuel, which generally means one that doesn't pollute as much as fuels used to do. Less poisonous than others. And with the specter of the world's oil reserves running out, people are wondering, well, what to do? We need alternative fuels. So it's another major problem, shortage of oil. Which creates serious problems for countries like Iraq, for instance. They don't have a shortage of oil, but some other countries do, and that's Iraq's bad fortune. So Srila Prabhupada had a radical, he offered radical solutions to the world's major problems. In the 1970s, when Srila Prabhupada was preaching in the Western world, there was the first what was called the petrol crisis. Up until that time, it had been considered that there's plenty of oil in the world and we can just use it as we like without any consideration. I'm not talking about gingelli oil, I'm talking about the kind of oil that's related to your lignite. It's so there was the first petrol crisis, and Srila Prabhupada offered the solution to the petrol crisis. He said, "Don't go anywhere. You don't need motor cars. If you need to go anywhere, you can go by bullock cart. Produce all your food locally. What do you need to go here and there running around like this for?" Similarly, the problem of overpopulation. First of all, he said that there's only a problem if the people are demoniac by nature. The earth can provide tremendous amounts of food. Even now, so much land is being used for growing products which are practically useless. For instance, coffee, tea, and tobacco, they have no nutritional value. But maybe millions of hectares throughout the world are used for growing these products, which are basically just for stimulating the tongue for no actual benefit for anyone. So much grain is grown to feed animals for slaughter. If the grains are fed directly to humans, then you can get 60 times as much nutrition from the same amount of land. In economic terms, it takes 60 kilos of grains to produce 1 kilo of meat. So there's really no shortage of food in the world, it's just that people's priorities are imbalanced. Again, if you perceive there's overpopulation, well, family planning is immediately affected if people know that the purpose of life is God realization. The problems of polluting the world come about due to a civilization that is based on sense gratification. The idea that we will be happy if we have all kinds of facilities to indulge our senses is the cause of so many problems in the modern world. For instance, it's considered that if we have a motor car, well, we can go from one place to another more easily. But it is the very nature of this material world that if we try to adjust it to our advantage, we find that another disadvantage is created. Nowadays there is a machine to do every kind of work that people used to do physically. But people suffer from having weak bodies from lack of exercise. We suffer from pollution. Traffic jams, road accidents, and the tremendous endeavor that is required to maintain such a complex civilization. We have to go into the sea to drill for oil. And if things go wrong, which it recently did off the coast of Florida, then there's a tremendously malefic repercussions. We've created a society in which people have to work very hard just to get the basic necessities of life. While other people, they can't even get any work to do and simply live in complete poverty. We live in a society which, although it congratulates itself on its progress, you can't get fresh food. Most people, they never eat fresh food in their life. And all the food we eat, it is full of pesticides and hormones. This is a major cause of cancer, which was previously a rare disease, has now become a very common disease. So it's a paradox of our modern society that the very food we eat, which is supposed to nourish us, simultaneously poisons us. So the food we eat, the air we breathe, the water we drink, it's all polluted. Well, I didn't even start to talk about the moral degradation, which is part of modern life. Which is being promoted via the television, cinema, newspapers, educational system. What a few years ago even would have been considered normal moral behavior is now considered foolish and stupid. What a few years ago everyone understood to be highly sinful, such as abortion and contraception and divorce, these are considered normal and proper and good in the modern society. So the Vedic perspective on this is that these are all symptoms of Kali Yuga. Kali Yuga means the age of hypocrisy and quarrel, in which all good qualities decrease day by day. What is that verse? Tato anudinam rajan. Tatashchanudinam rajan satyam shocham kshamadaya kalena balina rajan nangshantayor balang smritihi. In Kali Yoga, with the passing of every day, the following decrease.
Kali Yoga over naal kadandhu pogumbodhum varakkudhiya adhaavadhu ippa solla pora vishayangal ellam kadandhu
truthfulness, cleanliness, tolerance in the sense of tolerating difficulties, kshama, mercy, the bodily lifespan. Then bodily strength and mental strength. So all of these decrease day by day by day. The antidote to that is given in the Vedic literatures. Kale dosha nidhe rajan astihi eko mahan guna kirtanad eva krishnasya mukta sanga param vrajet. In Kali Yuga everything is wrong, it's an ocean of faults. But there's one great quality, which is that if people take to glorification of Krishna, Krishna kirtan, they can be delivered from all this and can go to the spiritual world. And how does that apply practically in the modern world? Yeah, Srila Prabhupada, he suggested this radical solution to the whole way of modern life. That there's no need for massive industrial enterprises. The basic necessities of life are provided by material nature, by the mercy of Bhagavan, and especially in a place like Tamil Nadu where there's so much fertile land, without much effort one can produce all that one needs locally. Actually, the living conditions here are very favorable. In the far northern hemisphere, for instance, from England, where I was born this lifetime, during the winter it's dark and very cold and very difficult to live. But in this climate, one can live very simply. Now, in the modern age, simple living is considered backward or primitive. But in the understanding of spiritually advanced people, to be always trying to get more and more and more and more, this is primitive and unintelligent. To live as a servant of one's material desires is the animal platform. Practically, although the modern society is so much developed in technology, this development has developed on the platform of animalistic consciousness. So an actually advanced person is one who is content to live with minimal bodily demands but is engaged in elevation of consciousness. So this is the ultimate solution. That if there is to be benefit for human society, we cannot go on the level of consciousness of cats and dogs. Cats and dogs, they're simply interested in their own personal interest or that of their immediate family. The exploitive mentality of modern society has created the modern problems. To exploit the earth, to make our group stronger than others and exploit other people, this is causing so many problems. So the ultimate solution cannot come by making more material adjustments. In the Vedic literature, the attempt to solve material problems by material solutions is likened to moving a burden which creates pain on one shoulder, moving it to the other shoulder.
One
We solve one problem, but simply transfer the problem to another place. So our proposal is that it is required to come to a higher platform of consciousness. Which means to come out of ignorance. We are born in ignorance. We require to take education. In the modern age, there is much drive for people to be educated. But the education misses the point of life. The education is much, here in India especially, is much focused on science and technology. But it completely avoids the really important questions of life. Such as, who are we actually? What is the purpose of life? How can we actually attain happiness? What happens after death? So, we propose to give education in these topics to bring people out of the ignorance which is the cause of all problems. Now, this should be taken up actually by the leaders of society. But we see that everywhere the leaders of society, they are the worst, they tend to be the worst people. When the whole atmosphere in society is corrupt, then the most corrupt people become the leaders. Therefore, the Krishna Conscious Movement proposes to create a class of actual Brahmanas. For generations in this country, there was the Brahmana caste, which fostered Brahminical culture, Dharmic culture. Somehow, in course of time, that culture has declined. And become detached from the realities of the Brahminical class has become detached from the realities of society. Still they may perform priestly functions. But they should be able to provide solutions to people's actual problems. Nowadays, people look to the intellectuals in universities for solutions to problems. But practically, the society, for all the intellectual suggestions, society day by day is getting worse and worse and worse.
அப்படி இருக்கக்கூடிய பேரர்கள் இருக்கக்கூடிய அந்த அறிஞர்களுடைய எல்லா ஆலோசனைகளை கேட்டும் கூட நடைமுறை பார்த்தீங்கன்னா இருக்கக்கூடிய சமுதாயம் ஒவ்வொரு நாளும் மோசமாகிட்டுதான் போயிட்டு
இருக்கு. ஸ்ரீல பிரபுபாத்ஸ் ப்ரொபோசல் was to create a new class of Brahmins.
அதனால ஸ்ரீல பிரபுபாத் அவருடைய அவர் என்ன முன்மொழிந்தார் அப்படின்னா ஒரு புதிய குழுவை அதாவது பிராமணர்களுடைய ஒரு புது குழுவை உருவாக்கணும் என்று.
That means, according to the prescription of Bhagavad Gita, Shamo damas tapasho cham kshantir arjavam eva cha jnana vijnanam astikyam brahma karma svabhavajam. They should be actually peaceful, self-controlled, austere, clean in mind and body. Tolerant, that means equipoised in happiness and distress. Very straightforward. And honest. Knowledgeable. And vijnanam in this sense means to be able to give, to apply that knowledge for the benefit of human society. And Srila Prabhupada wanted to create communities in which people could live simply under the guidance of such brahmanas. Centered on Krishna Bhakti, producing our own food, and showing how happy and pure people can be by living simply and chanting the holy names of Krishna. So this is our long-term suggestion for transforming society. Meanwhile, individually, everyone can improve their life tremendously by taking to Krishna consciousness. When we understand that the goal of life is to satisfy Vishnu, then our whole perspective on everything changes. As long as we're, as the main or the center of our life is acquiring money, power, money, prestige, we can never be happy. We must be full of stress and anxiety. But when we realize that this life, it's just a flash, we're just here for a short time. So there's no use to struggle to be a so-called big man or to have a big position. But that we can actually be happy in our constitutional position of glorifying Krishna. Then automatically we become free from all stress and anxiety. So this is a, of course, this is a very big topic, which we don't have time to get into. in great detail. But simply, this is our proposal. That individually, whatever we are doing right now in our lives, we can improve our lives tremendously by putting Krishna in the center. Understanding who Krishna is, what is our relationship with Him. And how we can act in that relationship by the process of bhakti. And for those who are more enterprising, or they may also want to take part actively in this Krishna conscious movement. And try to spread this knowledge, the Vedic knowledge. And establish ideal Krishna conscious communities. So for spreading that knowledge, we're distributing books. Before we present the books, I'd just like to ask if there are any questions. I've said some things tonight which some of you may find quite provocative. Obviously, if there is to be any solution to the present very much disturbed society, we're going to have a major rethink about the whole direction of society. So if there are any questions about this, please voice them now. In speaking, either in English or Tamil, according to your preference. Yes, you have a question.
You are saying that society is getting worse day by day in Kali Yuga. In Bhagavatam it is mentioned that more worse situation will be coming in Kali Yuga. So how far will the efforts of the devotees will be successful in reaching this mission? When it is not mentioned in Kali Yuga that more and more people will become Krishna conscious.
The question is that it's mentioned in Shastra that everything gets worse day by day in Kali Yuga, so how bad will it get? How far can the devotees remedy it? And you're saying it's not mentioned in Shastra that the devotees can remedy, but it is mentioned in Shastra. I gave that Kirtana Deva Krishna's your Mukta Sangha. One can become free from all these influences by Krishna Kirtan. It's already going on, isn't it? You have become free from the worst effects of Kali Yuga. Isn't it? By coming to this Krishna God. So others can do also? As much as we spread it, that much others can at least have the opportunity to take advantage of that. Any other questions?
Brahmin is a particular community, or a person who keeps his body and mind really is a Brahmin.
You said that the Brahmin is a particular community, and what else?
Or a person who
keeps his mind and body clean is a Brahmin. Well, conventionally, Brahmin is considered a community, as you say. Conventionally, it is considered thus. But the Shastric definition stresses more on qualities. We find in Bhagavad Gita, Chato Varnyam Maya Srishtam Guna Karma Vibhagashaha. Krishna says, I have created the four varnas based on guna, quality, and karma, activity, not on janma. So the guna on which the Brahma karma is based is described in Bhagavad Gita. I already quoted that verse. And persons who have such qualities and work on that basis, they can be considered Brahmanas. So people who are peaceful, self-controlled, austere, clean, tolerant, straightforward, knowledgeable, and wise, and act on that basis, such persons, they should be considered Brahmanas. So traditionally in the Brahminical family, such qualities were inculcated. So we see that even today, these people there from the Brahmana community, they're inclined to these kind of activities. But if a person born in a Brahmana family becomes degraded, becomes a drunkard and a womanizer, then he cannot be considered a proper Brahmana. Is it not? A Brahmana should be someone who is very pure in character and able to help others by giving them higher knowledge. So we appreciate those who are actual Brahmanas. Whether they're born in a Brahmana family or not born in a Brahmana family, we appreciate that. Of course, it's not that everyone has to be a Brahmana to achieve the perfection of life. Over time, is it? Okay, I'll just finish it. I see. He wants to say a few words? Okay. So, Sve Sve Kamanya Bhirata Sangsidhim Labhate Naraha. Anyone in any, whichever status of life one may be, one can achieve the perfection of life by doing his work in service to Krishna. So So thank you very much, Mr. Kandaswamy.